for being holding time and space with us.
Yes.
It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, we're super grateful to have you here. Super grateful. Please come again. We'll definitely go on a tour with you. There are a lot of beautiful natural here. Yeah, yes. From Egypt. I was talking about the story of Cairo when I went. That was really amazing. I would love to come back. But yes, good morning. Again, if you don't know, we do this podcast and IG live at the same time. So if you're tuning in on our podcast, welcome. And if you're on IG, welcome. And we thank you for being here with
hello,
us.
Hello, hello.
Every week we kind of are diving into a topic surrounding yogic philosophy.
Yep. And we're coming from
Yamas and Niyamas by Deborah Adele. I got my own copy. She finally did.
I said, okay, I got to go all in. Got to go all in. Last and it's week. Worth it. I mean, if you're new to yoga, if you have never spent time on a mat, we always joke that I have not really spent time on a mat. And that's just kind of Nicole, because I like to have a understanding of things. Mm-hmm. And then it makes more sense when I get on the mat. So it's just, I love this book. I love,
love. Isn't it such a gem? I'm so glad you said that, because I really wanted to touch on that today and say that, yes, the reason why we are going through this yogic philosophy part of it and talking about the other aspects of yoga is because it's really important to educate on a fuller understanding of the practice. You can get the physical practice all day, every day at your local studio, on YouTube, wherever yoga is happening. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's really important to be able to give context and understanding about what does yoga really mean? What is it really about? And for those of you who may not know, yoga actually means union, to yoke or to unite. So union with self, union with others, union with the world around us, and you know, union with that divine inspiration. We talk about that all the time.
We do.
So, yoga off the mat, in other words, is where we're at.
Hey! What? She's back.
Okay.
She's back.
I was a little deflated last night. I was tired. If you caught the live last night from Black Student Union at Sacramento State University, they had a Black Professionals Day. I was asked to be on the panel. It was awesome. I shared the stage with some amazing, wonderful people. And if you want to go catch that live and get some inspiration on entrepreneurship and business, please do. But yeah, I had a headache most of the day. I was really tired. I came home, went immediately to bed, and woke up a little slow today.
Yeah.
So I'm coming around, y'all. Yeah. And that really is real.
That is real.
So I'm going to keep it real with y'all.
That's the truth.
That's the truth.
And we
segue.
We talk. See how we did that?
See how
y'all?
We did that?
Yeah, that is the truth. So I had the pleasure, and I do say pleasure, of reading the chapter last night. So how do you say this word?
Satya.
These fancy words. Satya.
Which is the Sanskrit word translated truthfulness.
Truthfulness. And y'all know that we are big on definitions around here. And it's funny, because when we looked up truthfulness, it said the fact of being true. So then we thought, well, let's just look up
truth.
And it said
the fact of being true.
So then we got to true.
So, yeah.
So what we found with true is in accordance with facts or reality, accurate or exact.
Accurate.
And I like how it says in accordance.
Got
to coordinate.
Coordinate.
In accordance with facts. Of reality,
ooh.
Accurate or exact. And, you know, the reality is my facts and my reality are very different than anybody else's.
Come on.
Right?
Okay.
So when we are talking about true, a lot of times if I'm doing a couple's work or family work, they want to believe there's one truth.
Ooh.
You know, and parents often want the child to get on board with the truth of the matter.
Ooh, wow.
And so my job, a lot of that is, you know, even working with in your job, I work in a hospital. So I have doctors, I have nurses, and they all think they know what the truth of the matter is and how we're going to go about offering services to this person. And the reality is that, you know, the only real truth we kind of have is like, what is our mission? Right? What are we coming together for? And so what I do with couples and families and even with individuals in themselves is that we keep talking about, right? Use of energy and alignment with that vision. So what is the truth of your vision? What is the truth of why you get on the mat? What is the truth of why yoga is an aspect of you that provides XYZ. So, and then being open that your truth is going to look very different from anybody else's.
Come on with it.
And so that's really, and I tell you again, Deborah Adele, the examples that she is using in this book are so real life that it's really, you're
it's
not,
mind blowing,
it's
right?
not, yeah.
It's going to land.
It's going to land.
It's going to land.
It's going to land. And so the problem with that, and one of the main points she brings out is truth being the truth can be heavy, but we find ourselves in conflict with the truth because we battle between being nice versus being real. Right? And this morning I came and Angie was real. Look. And I could feel her energy. I could feel her energy. I can feel like, okay, this is not like, you know, and she just was real. I had a headache and this is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm going through. And so we just sit with that, right? Versus now, if I, in the past, trying to be nice, would have been like, oh, well, you know, well, you had a long day. And I can understand why. You know, you try to almost, it's almost like you can see somebody's frequent vibration is a little low. And so you immediately going to be nice because you think being nice will help to lift them up versus keeping it real.
Wow.
Which is, this is
where we're at.
Accepting people where they're at.
Yeah, and I think that the great thing about that, too, is just... And I immediately told her what I needed support in after post-story. So I think the other really great thing about being truthful is that you can also just identify where you might need support or help. And then if you can have the courage to ask for that, I think that's fantastic. And or if the person around you can be like, how can I... Is there anything that I can do to support you?
Yeah.
You know, instead of being catering,
nice.
More so be like,
trying
yo,
to be nice.
I feel you. Thank you for keeping it real. Is there anything I can do to help? Let me know if you need me. I'm here. That's it.
Yeah. 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 And I you know, and this is, we're all on here. And I thought about, we were having a conversation at work, nice versus real. And I really.
At work?
Yes. Yes. Wow. Yeah. You know, if you're around me, we gonna get into it. So that's why I love being around this one right here. We get into it.
We get into it.
We get into it. And I'm going to just put it out there, y'all, that nice versus real. For a lot of young women, I work with a lot of teen girls, and we talk about your first intimate experience.
Okay.
Your first time that you were intimate. And, you know, for a lot of people, sometimes that's not a welcomed or planned thing. But a lot of times I would hear girls say they didn't know how to be real because they were trying to be nice.
Yeah.
So they didn't even, like, realize in the moment I could really say no.
Right.
Because it had gone so far that they didn't want to not be nice.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of young girls, their first time was not because they wanted to, but they had been conditioned and had been told to be nice.
Wow.
And so I know that's kind of like, wow, we really just jumping into some things. But then I thought about how that plays out for women of color.
Yeah.
And on our jobs. And in our families.
The code
and,
switch.
And that when we keep it real, watch out.
Yeah.
It's like we start clapping. It's like,
well, you know what? It's real.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And but there's this whole, what happens internally for us is that, you know, how do we recognize that juxtaposition of... the realness of what I'm thinking and feeling versus that conditioning of being nice.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? And I could totally relate
nice
to this
because
I was, you gotta be nice for what, titties?
Yes. Nice for what? What is this?
So for me, I can speak to this very directly because I used to be a people pleaser and it was really because I wanted to be accepted. I didn't want to ruffle feathers. I didn't want to be not, you know, not included or be like shunned out because
connection. Inclusion.
You know, I wanted to just keep the peace. And that sometimes keeping the peace forced me not to be all the way real or not all the way true to myself, to what I was feeling, to what I was really thinking, and to go along with certain experiences when I really didn't feel right in those experiences. And so over time, I learned that, you know what? I had to get to know myself. And by understanding myself, then I was able to be true to who that person was. So and I talked about this last night on the panel, mm-hmm. being true to yourself and knowing yourself is so like the most valuable mm-hmm. thing you can do in this life, because that's like a solid place that you can't be shaken from. So knowing myself and being true to me allowed me to then speak up in situations where I was like, you know what, this doesn't feel good. Or when you said that, this happened, you know, no, I don't want to go to this,
yeah,
et cetera, et cetera. But if you are in a situation, if you are constantly feeling as though you want to fit in or be a part of a group or whatever, and that you're compromising pieces of yourself to do so, I think you have to look at why and then do your best to try to be real with yourself in that conversation and that analysis, and then be able to come back into that space more strongly as yourself and be willing to speak your truth. Mm-hmm. Now, not being nice does not mean not being rude, correct. I feel.
Correct.
So this is not about now you out here just blasting people left and right,
yes.
sharp yes. tongue cutting people. It just means being true, but you can still be considerate of other people and their feelings in the midst of stating your truth, yeah. and being real to yourself.
Because true, again, is in accordance with your facts of reality and your accurate or exact, you know, perception or beliefs. So again, true is not this black and white thing. It's in accordance. So that tells us when something says in accordance, that means there's something that was that is
in accordance to.
Yes, that's in accordance to.
Mm-hmm.
And that very thing is yourself.
Morning, Aaliyah.
That very thing is yourself. Yes.
Hey, Erica's yes. in the building. What's good?
What's up?
All right.
And I too. Reformed people pleaser yeah. And because I came from a childhood that was very much like, "Woo, that girl don't got a snowball's chance in hell." So for me, when I would go live with the good relatives, the relatives with money and status, it was like, you better make this work.
Because oh, wow.
you don't have nothing to go back to.
Wow.
Right? So for me, being
hey,
nice per se was a coping mechanism. And so it was a good
a
morning.
Survival mechanism.
It was a
really.
Survival yeah. mechanism. So when you're coming from a place, like I think a lot of us are on jobs and we don't have an alternative.
True.
So, you know,
You better play the role.
You have to play the role. Like, they really might be doing something that you don't believe in. And then you're in that place of, do I keep it real and go to management and say, hey, I'm noticing these things?
Right.
Or, you know, do I have to just be like, you know what, it's not important. You know, I just...
Ooh. So how do you navigate that?
Yeah. So how do you navigate that?
You know, I think that there's times to bite the bullet as you prepare and plan your exit strategy.
Yes.
So, I think sometimes you do have to hold it.
And that is a form of truth. The reality is even if I told you, you probably wouldn't even be able to receive it. So the truth of the matter is, or do something about it. So the truth of the matter is, I'm going to hold this while I work on the exit plan,
yeah.
the exit strategy, mm-hmm. right? And I do think that's that little bit of relief, because then when you're showing up and you're working on something else, all your attention and energy is not in this place.
You filled out job applications on your break, you know, hoping nobody pull up on you. Like,
who has been there? I have used their internet, their resources, their fax machine, all that to get another job.
All of it. Printing out shit. First one at the fax. Right? Like, hold on. I got some copies that I make. You know, that's
yes,
real.
That's real.
That's real.
But then that helps you keep your peace.
Because
you're keeping your truth in accordance to what you know to be, which is, I don't need to be here anymore.
Right.
And I that's just the reality.
Oh, that's the
reality. I don't need to be here anymore. Yeah. This is not for me.
If y'all knew how many jobs I'd have quit and been fired from.
Yo, real talk.
I talked about this last night. My first job, I'm going to give y'all a little story. My very first job was at Jasper's Giant Hamburgers.
I love this story.
If you have ever been there, it's on Madison and Dewey if you live in Sacramento. I'm not encouraging you to go, but I mean, if that's what you want to do, it's whatever. I used to live down the street, maybe about a half a mile. I told my parents, I was 16. I was like, I need to get this money because, you know, whatever they're giving me is not enough. And I was ready to smoke that weed at the time. So I needed to drop five on it. You feel
yeah.
me? So I said, okay, let me go ahead and walk up here and get this job. So I told my parents, I'm going to walk up here and get this job. So I walk up there, had the interview, yo, I want to get this job, blah, blah, blah. Next day, I'm working in there, I'm flipping fries. Cool. So a couple months pass, I had been working there, you know what I'm saying? And there was this white boy at the job that used to like me. You feel me? So I was like, okay, you know, we were cool. One day he came in, he ordered some stuff, you know, dropped me a little dollar tip or whatnot, you know. I thought it was something at the time. 16-year-old
Angie, I love it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I love it.
Man. So I was like, okay, cool. So, you know, we were supposed to give our employees discount. It was like, I don't care. I don't remember. It was a certain percentage of the discount. So I did the little thing. So the owners now feel that because he liked me, that there was something going on and that I had given him an extra discount on his stuff. And it was like, yo, if I made a mistake. And then they fired me. They told me that it was it. And I was like, oh, wow. Because
you were stealing.
That was our principal from last week. They accused
16-year-old Angie stealing.
They said I was stealing.
They said she was stealing.
And I wasn't, y'all. I really wasn't. If I was, it would have been like, okay, you caught me. You know what I'm saying? That's what it is. I'm sorry. But that's not what it was. I just must have accidentally, the calculation must have been off. I was still relatively new. No one was overseeing me do it. So, yes, girl, Tanya, I'm telling you. So I called a meeting. I said, we go have a meeting up in here and talk about the truth of the matter.
That's right.
Because I needed to let them know. Yeah. I didn't steal this money. So I called them in one day. I can't remember. It was like a slow time in the day. So I walk up there. I'm all indignant. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, nah, this is unfair. This is unjust. So I go up there. I call a meeting. I'm like, yo, I didn't like steal this money. I don't, you know, I must have accidentally calculated it. Blah, 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 blah. I'm going on and on. Like, this is not right. And they're like, so what? You want your job back? And I was like, no, I don't want the job back. No. And then I left. I needed to make my point. I needed to speak my truth.
In accordance with who you knew yourself to be, which exactly. Was not.
Not a thief. At least at that particular instance, it was not a thieving situation. So I needed to speak up for myself and clear my name in that way. Because I was like, yo, I didn't do this. You know what I'm saying? But no, I don't want your funky ass job.
She really did.
You can have that job. And then I went to Mervyn's. And then I went to Mervyn's before Mervyn's got shut down, and I started working at Mervyn's like 2 weeks later. So I was like, I don't need a job.
Yeah.
So, yeah, moral of the story is there is a time and place, and there's other options and opportunities at times. You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't keep myself to, oh, I don't want to stand up for myself and this and that. Because I'm afraid of whatever. It was like, no, I'm gonna go speak my truth, and no, I don't want their job because I'm better than that, and I'm not gonna work in an environment where people are gonna treat me that way. So mm-hmm. I'm going somewhere else because I know my worth.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably didn't know my worth at the time, but I was just young and, you know, whatever, I'll just go get another job.
Right. But the reality is you didn't have to call for a meeting.
I did not. That was extra.
I mean, I think, you know, that's the moment where you made the decision that no, I'm going to speak on my truth.
Yeah.
You know, because I have to act in accordance mm-hmm. with who I know myself to mm-hmm. be. And you're not going to be calling me something I'm not.
Exactly. And it's really interesting to think about that. And I never really thought about it in those terms until this conversation. But that was real. That was like, no, you're going to hear my truth.
Yeah.
Period. Period. Whether I'm fired or not. I don't care if I work at this job no more.
You're going to hear from me.
You're going to hear from me. and my management.
Put some respect on my name.
Put some respect on my name. Period.
You know, so that's, those are real life problems.
Those are real life scenarios.
Those are like, you know, that nice for what type of situation. And so, you know, we always talk about, I don't know, can anybody relate?
Yeah.
I just want to know.
Please. Throw up some hands if you ever, emojis, you know, whatever it is. Let us know.
I mean, we all go through that nice versus real. Mm-hmm. I'm a co-parent. And sometimes there's nice.
Yeah.
And then there's sometimes real. Like, no, we really don't get down like that.
How do you determine when you say, okay, in this situation, I'm going to be nice, and okay, it's time to keep it real? Like, what is the under, like, okay, so they saying yes, they got us. Okay.
Yes. So, I mean, I can feel it in myself.
Okay.
So I moved to Sacramento 2 years now, and I moved to be closer to the co-parent, my daughter's father, and we were going to have this fluidity, right? That way these kids can have the fluidity, the village life, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. So when I came, I was nice. mm-hmm. Nicole was nice. Mm-hmm. And so I was nice, and I paid the price for being nice.
Because what happens
is when you show up and you're nice and you kind of let things slide, or you're kind of like, Yeah, your gut. Your gut will tell you.
Sarah says, a lot of times it's in my gut. That gut feeling tells me when to speak my truth. That's it, girl.
It is. It's very true.
And that's what you're talking about right now.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about. So I show up, and the premise is that we're going to be closer, but we've never lived this close together co-parenting. You know, I was in the Bay Area, 2 hours away. Like, I see you every other weekend. Great. So you're trying to be nice because you're trying to understand the vision, right? We had this vision. We had it aligned in accordance with this vision. But what I realized 2 years later is the times where I was real, my whole energy was different. Mm-hmm. And then that just threw people off.
They're like, wait, who is this version of Nicole?
Yeah. So holiday is nice, right? But then in the child exchange, I'm real. I'm like, hi. Yeah. I don't know. I don't need to know all that. You know, and it's kind of like... You don't want to have this extra conversation? No.
No, let's just do what we came to do here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that was a lot for me to transition from like him being my friend to now he's just my co-parent.
Mm-hmm.
Because the nice wanted to keep that facade friendship. That we're friends and we're this. Isn't it nice that we can be friends? Mm. Isn't it nice that the kids can go back and forth? And I almost like saying it because it made me feel like, oh, we've achieved this thing. And then the reality was like, no, this dynamic has changed. This dynamic is not what it was, Nicole. And you're going to have to find your truth and still be real without being so concerned about being nice that you're miserable.
Right.
I just got to a place where I wasn't enjoying it.
Yes.
So that's indicators.
Yeah.
So some indicators.
Yeah, let's get into the indicators.
We always get into the indicators is that you will start to notice that you're not looking forward to being around certain people or certain environments or situations. Mm. It's almost like you start to be like, do I really have to? You start looking for excuses not to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because that's your indicator that in those environments, you've probably been like not really real.
Mm-hmm.
Because real can be joking and laughing, but not overly.
Yeah.
Real can be when I show up at family events and Nicole doesn't have a lot to say those days.
Yeah.
I'm still nice per se. I'm not mean. I'm not scouring like, you know, in the corner, like.
In the cut, like.
I'm keeping it real this time.
In the gangsta lean.
No.
No.
I'm just laid back. Right. So indicators are, you want to avoid things. You kind of, hey, Brie. You kind of don't want to be around things. What are some other indicators?
Some other indicators are when you feel that bubble up inside. You know when, like, you leave a situation and you're like, damn, I wish I would have said this, this, and this. I would have told that person this, this, and that. That's an indicator that you probably did not speak your truth in the moment. And then you're ruminating on that thing and being like, man, I really wish that... Yeah, rumination is an indicator that you were not... in accordance with your true self in a particular moment. And that's okay. Kirsten says, truth is sometimes uncomfortable and unfamiliar, but necessary. Yeah, yes. So the shit won't be easy. And there's a quote out there, I can't remember who, if y'all know who it is, speak your truth even if your voice shakes.
Yes, I love that one.
You have to be willing to speak your truth even in the times when it feels uncomfortable. Take as many deep breaths as you can. And, you know, if it's with somebody that you trust, you can also just let them know, you know, this is difficult for me to express, but I really want to get this out here because I want to be honest with you about how I feel about XYZ situation, right? So indicators is, yes, that bubble up. Things are bubbling up inside you. You're ruminating. Mm-hmm. You're thinking about certain things that you wish you would have said or did differently. That is an indicator.
You know, just generally not feeling the energy.
Mm.
Like if you think about a topic and you physically feel yourself either like get a tense reaction. Mm-hmm. Or a physical reaction, that's also an indicator that... You know, and maybe on some level, I haven't really ferreted out what's the real truth for me in this situation. And that could be like on a new job.
Mm-hmm.
That could be moving to traveling with different people.
Oh.
You know, I know that I love the communities that are being built. I see these wonderful communities being built online. And then you meet in person. Right? So you built this relationship online. You have this online. But then to meet in person, it's that balance of being real nicely. Because people think, I would love for you to speak to this.
Yeah, we're going to get into this.
She never likes to admit, like, the fan craze is a real thing. And, like, I have seen people see Andrew from across the room, and they're like, she's right there.
Oh, my God, I can't.
And she's just like, blah, 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 blah. But, I mean, you're very inspiring, and you know, you're so authentic. But I would like to know, what is that like? Because yes, you are real and transparent, but people do have a perception of you. And how do you stay real in that moment?
Well, I'm just always me. There's no change. It's still me in the moment when they, I guess if they're having a fangirl moment or whatever, I don't know. Nicole says it's a real thing. I'm just like, cool. They like me and they follow me on Instagram and they see me. So it's cool. Let me hug it out. Because what I do, I don't brush them off like, oh, blah, blah, blah. She said blah, blah, blah. But it's more like in that sense, it's just like, oh, whatever, Nicole. Yeah.
No, she's
lovely. But I just she's like, yo, what's good? Let's hug. You know, if they want a picture, it's cool. Whatever, whatever. But like, it's always love. Like how I honestly, and this is such an important part. To me, this goes back to knowing yourself and being yourself, especially when it comes to branding, because this month's theme is about work and wellness. And part of this conversation is really geared to help you think about how you can be authentic and real in what you're doing business-wise, entrepreneurial-wise, in your work, you know, to be able to be authentically you when you're doing work that is true to who you are. Then you can be happy and fulfilled and actually always come from an authentic place because you're being who you are all the time. And I think that's what's the reality for me. In those situations,
I think you embody that very well.
I try to, and I hope, and my hope is, you know, that people, and that's why I keep it so real on this platform. And you know, when I'm talking or when I'm in my captions, people are always like, I can just hear your voice when you type, and I'm grateful for that because I want you guys to not feel like, oh, what is Afro yoga in real life is not Afro yoga on digital, because I know that that's the reality for a lot of platforms and people who maybe struggle with keeping it 100, being themselves and finding that balance between being business and professional and being themselves. For me, I hope that the people that see me in real life, that their perception of me is what they see or what I have intended for them to connect to, which is my real self.
Yes.
So my hope is that when people see me, that their perception of me...
Oh, she really is like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what I said. And because we're talking about nice versus real.
Right.
And I do believe when I finally met you, I really felt like, oh, she really is how she is.
I'm with the shits. I'm with the shits, y'all.
Yes.
And I just think that that's really important. Bree says you are a genuine, authentic woman. Oh, y'all go, baby, grab it. You know, I just feel like I spent too much time not knowing who I was and being a people pleaser and trying to fit in and speaking this way and that way, especially as a mixed person, biracial person, not black enough, not white enough, always trying to, always having to adjust myself to fit into a situation. And I'm very good at being a chameleon. And this is what I had to learn, is me being a chameleon and adapting to my environment. So that means when I'm talking to a 50-year-old woman, I'm not going to use all of the words in my vocabulary and the slangs that I use with y'all or with you, because she's not going to be able to communicate with me because she don't know what the fuck I'm saying.
Right.
So you have to also meet people where they are, and me being able to do that. And that is, I guess you could call it code switching to a degree. But for me, my code switch is not for, to be able to still be accepted, it's to communicate efficiently with somebody. So if I am shifting the way that I'm speaking a little bit to talk to a 55-year-old woman, it's really just to be able to meet her where she is and be able to have a conversation with her where I can get my point across.
And that's why we vibe, because as a therapist and a social worker, I do that all day.
Exactly. And so here's the kicker, is that I had to recognize that me switching, you know, changing in that way did not make me fake.
Ooh. Come on.
You know?
Yes.
I really had to battle with that because I was like, man, am I being fake? Am I not being true to myself? But the reality is I am multifaceted. I am all of these things. So it's just me being different aspects of myself in different situations. That's all of me. I'm not being fake. I'm being real. I'm being me.
Yes.
But I'm also choosing and being wise about how I communicate, because communication to me is a stronghold. It's like a core pillar of who I am. And if I want to have a conversation with you and get my point across, I know that I may need to speak to you in a certain way in order for you to understand and respect my opinion. And not necessarily even respect, but just for you to hear me. Right. And so if we start to use certain language or things that are out of people's realms, they start to shut down and they're like, I don't know. And then they tap out. And that's really not what the goal of communication is. The goal of communication is for what you say to be heard and interpreted by the other person as how you intended it to be. Because people have different definitions of words. If I ask you what it means to be cheap, and I define to you what it means to be cheap, we might have a different idea of that. Mm-hmm. But if I'm trying to explain to you that I really like getting things at a low cost or at a bargain, that might be different, right? So I think that being able to communicate with somebody in with the intention for them to receive your message rather than for them to understand your words, is there's a difference between the two.
And I think this last year, in watching you, as we worked together on the marketing for Afro Yoga, and like, I think of all you online entrepreneurs, like, you see the captions and you think, oh, Angie's just sitting in around, whipping them out of her ass. No, friends. Girl. The captions are thought about. The captions are like said out loud. How does that sound? How does that feel? The colors of your brand, you know. And what I know to be true, and what I am learning from Angie, is they are coming from her truth, you know. So wow. I think as you're out there and you're pursuing your entrepreneurial pursuits, and I think, hey, you know what, just start somewhere. I'm learning, just start somewhere. Your truth will start to blend in more and more and more. But like Angie said, you know, in one meeting you might be talking in a way that some of your team might be like, who was that?
Right.
Why you talk like that, Angie?
Right.
I never heard you talk like that.
Exactly.
And to me, as a therapist, you know, I work with everybody, kids, older people, Black, white, Asian. So you have to meet people where they're at, but it's always with the true intention of connection.
Yes.
True intention of wanting to communicate.
Yes.
So that the person can receive what they need. We can help them get to the next place and things of that nature. So as we're talking about that work-life balance, and just, you know, I think a lot of people I love, especially who follow you, we follow their accounts. And all of you ladies, all of you are so true in how you are presenting yourselves. Everybody that I've met offline in real life, you're really who you are online.
Yes.
So I commend you. Yes. Good job. Good job.
If no one clapped for you today,
yes,
you're doing fucking amazing.
You're doing amazing.
Yes. So, shall we get into some tips?
Yes, 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 yes. So, I like some of the things that you said about really that first piece of getting to know yourself.
Yeah. Number one tip.
You talked about that on the panel. Someone question.
I went in. They asked about personal brand. And that's just like, obviously, something I really care about. And authenticity is something that's so important to me. I was talking about this to Jakaya, my work wife, yesterday on a call. And we were talking about, you know, just like platforms that are selling different types of products that are really just appealing to people's vanity metrics. Get more followers, make this all this money, blah, blah, blah. But no one's talking about, or the people who are talking about the internal work, the following is not as strong a lot of the times because people, it'd be too real. It'd be too real for people, man. And they just not ready for it. Yeah. And so we talked about the comparison of like, okay, don't kill me, y'all. Beyonce and Solange.
Okay.
There's your Beyoncés who appeal more to the masses, who have this sort of,
that's real,
you know, commercial appeal. And then you have the Solanges that are really out here for the culture unapologetically. And a lot of times those people are not as revered, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that also just know that another tip about being in your truth, in addition to just being yourself and knowing yourself, is that just know that you being yourself is not going to be for everyone. Yeah. And that is totally okay.
And what I hear about that, when you're being yourself, you evolve and grow, you know? And when I think about a Beyonce brand, you know what you're going to get every single time you put it in, good, go. To whereas a Solange, you don't know, you know? And that's part of having to keep up with someone like you. And so it doesn't mean that people can't keep up or they're not. It just means there is some internal work that has to happen when you're reaching for people who are very transparent and they're showing you where they're at in their own journey.
That's real fucking talk right there. Because you're constantly growing and evolving. And because you're transparent, real, and honest, people are going to see that transition and that transformation. And I think that's beautiful. And I'll give you a perfect example of something like this. And this is also a great tip if you're going to start a new Instagram, or you're thinking about starting a new Instagram account, or you're wanting to rebrand your business on Instagram. People ask me all the time, well, should I delete all the old stuff that I had before?
Great question.
And
what do you say?
I say, hell no.
Oh, I love that.
Keep it. Show the glow up.
Ooh,
Show it. Show the transformation. I tell people all the time, if you take five, right now it's probably about five long thumb scrolls down, you're going to see the old stuff versus the new stuff, and you'll see the growth. And I think that that's really inspiring for people, because that's real.
That's real.
It's real.
That's real. And it's funny that she mentions that, because I did that. We were working on a PDF, and I literally went through Angie's whole Instagram. I started from the first post, and I went
from the first one
all the way. Wow. That's what I do.
Okay.
Because I wanted to see the journey. Because you were asking me to inform something that you were working on. Mm-hmm. But that means I would have to know your journey.
And that's real.
And yeah, right? That's so I was going through every post and watching and seeing that moment where it was like, I'm now free and I want to help others feel this freedom or relief that I found in yoga. This relief that I experienced, right?
Yeah.
You can clearly see it in your what is that word? What is that thing? A feed or whatever?
In the feed, yeah.
You can clearly
working
see
on it.
But that's so true. Mm-hmm. That's so true. Keep it. I love that.
And yeah, because the reality is that that's inspiring for other people, right?
It is.
And we in this fake ass world, yes, we live in a world of fake ass, fake tits, fake people, fake news, fake president, real president, but it's fucked up to think it's real. Just a lot of this fakeness is happening in the world, okay? And so being authentic and being real and being able to show I'm not perfect. Like if I were to erase all of those older posts and just show the new stuff, people would probably be like, damn,
yeah,
I can't do that.
So true.
You know, like she just started guns blazing. Like
right.
I'm not there.
Yes.
So I think being able to show like, no, it was bad lighting. It was inconsistent editing. It was random shit being posted.
And that's how I found my way.
Yeah. Right?
Because as Kristen said, it takes time to get to know yourself.
It does.
And your online presence, that is a whole other, like, it's not, yes, it's you, but your online presence is a different aspect of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you have to even get to know the language of that. Who is it attracting?
Right.
Is it who you want to be attracting? Are there things that we can do differently to broaden, to inspire?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, you really have to know your own truth and, like, your mission.
You know,
why did I start this account?
Yes.
What is my intention for this account? And what am I willing to give in order to receive, like, you know what I'm saying? What am I willing to serve? How am I willing to serve?
Yes. And what consist constantly asking yourself, how can I be of value, right?
Yes.
To my community. So tip number one, know yourself. And just to dive back into that just for a moment, ask yourself some questions. I joke about this, like, you know, we date other people and we ask them 1,001 questions. What's your favorite color? What you like to eat?
That's not true.
But what do we ask ourselves those things? Like, if we can take some time to be still and to really spend time with ourselves and ask ourselves, like in my meditations, I've shared this before, I will literally ask myself, okay, what do we need to eat today?
Oh, your Mindful Monday was spot on.
Oh,
so,
thank you. Check-ins. Yes, check-ins.
The Mindful Monday meditation was just this.
Yeah, it was just a straight check-in, asking yourself questions.
So that's a tool.
It's a tool. So if you hop on the text list, I send you every Monday a new meditation. Mm-hmm. The number is 415-813-2387. So yeah, you can hit me up and I send messages out, mindful stuff, wellness stuff. It's our Afro Yoga phone number, essentially, mm-hmm. that I run. And yeah. So know yourself, be yourself. Know that the result of being yourself is that you won't be for everyone, and that's okay. Especially if you're doing it in the realm of business, I think also just embrace with growth. A lot of times, like we feel like here goes one. Don't post for the likes, y'all. Please don't post for likes. Post for impact.
Ooh.
Seriously. And that's real, because what is often true, particularly as we're growing followings, et cetera, I know many of you are business owners. We want to gain our followers. We got to get our followers up. But I think if we shifted that perspective to just, can I just be true to myself, my vision, my mission?
Yes.
these people who are here following me already, mm-hmm. all 20 of them or all 2,000 of them.
That's right.
Serve the people that you have by consistently adding value and staying true to what you said you came here to do. And don't start just posting shit to get likes so that you can, it's not a popularity contest. You know what I mean? It's yeah. about adding value to your community.
And sometimes we do it because we just think it's working.
Yeah, that too.
You know, and that's real, right? You get to that feeling, you know, it's kind of like on the playground when you start learning, well, how come what's that girl doing that's working? And then you only see the outside of what she's doing, and it appears like, oh, she's being nice. She's doing this. She's doing that.
Yeah.
But you don't know the conversations that person has had with other people. So mm-hmm. I get it. Like, we see that something's working, and so we try to
emulate.
We emulate that, and that's good to be inspired. But just add your like, love that. Don't post for likes. Post for impact. Don't forget to add your personal impact or share how it impacted you. Mm-hmm. You can make an observation like, man, when I saw this and I saw it working for her, I was like, okay, mm-hmm. okay. But then I did this.
Yeah.
But then I added this to it.
Yes, absolutely. So, absolutely. So, yes.
Awareness of feelings in your body. Like, we talked about the bubble up. Mm-hmm. I am just really big on just taking a moment to just ask yourself, oh, what is that?
Yep.
What is that I'm
What's
feeling?
That wave of energy that just came through me?
Yeah. And totally. And just, you know, let it inform you.
Mm-hmm.
Let it inform you. I mean, I'm just one of those people, like,
tell us.
I know when I'm lying. I know when I'm about to just do it, right? And I almost have to, like, that little part of my brain, it's like, you really gonna do that? I got to be like, we about to do this, so you just be quiet.
Just be quiet. Shh, shh, shh.
Yeah, so...
I'm done with you.
I can't come in today.
Right. Woo! If y'all knew how many of these calls I have put in my life, I have had people fake call me up at the job.
And we're making light of
surprise.
It. We're making light of it. But I mean, really, truthfully, there are big things that we do kind of, we fudge it, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to use that.
Let it inform you.
Let it inform you because, you know, then you can have the conversation with yourself inside yourself.
Right.
Right? And then you can really make that decision, like, but, and ask a question. Well, is there a different way I can do this?
Yeah.
Like, please let me know. Is there,
yeah.
you know, but I really encourage people to just stop before you start to say, my anxiety is kicking up. Before you start to say my, because the second you say my, you are taking ownership of that thing.
Ooh,
and that
on.
Thing has to show up.
Come on, Nicole.
So the second you say my anxiety, the second you say my OCD, the second, and I'm not making light of it. I'm not making light of it. I'm not making light of it. But I just want you to be aware of the power in that.
Yes.
That your brain is like Google. The second you say my, it reaches for the file. So when you say my anxiety, your brain goes to the file of anxiety.
Alexa, can you please bring anxiety?
It's exactly what it does.
And
then
the
chemicals start going. And now unfortunately, we're wiped out.
So this is a tip that I've been using from Nicole on that front. And that is that when I feel what I would normally call anxiety, I just say, okay, I'm feeling some discomfort right now. I'm feeling a little bit uncomfortable right now. And then I use a lot of the tips that I learned in this book, Vibrate Higher Daily by Layla Delia. This is an amazing book, y'all. Please go buy it. It's changed the game for me. She was an obvious channel for the divine in this book. And wow. And so what I have learned is, what will raise my vibration in this moment? In the moment where I'm feeling discomfort. And sometimes I do allow myself to just sit there, because it's not always about running away immediately. We have to be able to, okay, what's going on here? Who walked in the room? What was said? You know, what energy am I picking up on that has shifted my energy in this moment? I was fine 2 seconds ago. What has changed that now I'm feeling this way?
Yes.
And so,
because it's real.
Yes, it's real. I've experienced it regularly. And so I think to myself, what can I do in this moment to elevate my vibration? So that comes oftentimes in the form of music, uplifting music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my white angelica, my little oils that I put on. Sometimes I reach for my crystals and meditate and release that energy. Taking a shower, letting that water rinse mm-hmm. me off and cleanse me. Mm-hmm. Lighting incense, whatever it is that it is for you. Walking out, taking a walk outside and getting some fresh air.
Yes.
Figure out whatever it is for you that can help you in that particular moment to elevate your vibration. And Wayne Wayne Dyer. Yes. Totally different situation.
Totally different spectrums. Dwayne Wade and Wayne Dyer, but yes.
Wayne Dyer says something like, you can't resolve a problem at the level that the problem was created.
The solution and the question are not on the same frequency.
Okay, yes.
Like, right, that's the same thing. What he's saying is you can't get the answer from the level of the problem.
Yes.
So if you're looking at the problem, my anxiety, if you are there, the solution of what can I do? I can walk away. I can start a mantra. It almost can't come in.
It can't. Yeah, because you're shutting down now.
Yeah.
But also in the sense of just recognizing when you're feeling something in your body or you're experiencing a moment where you're like, man, that was not my truth. Like I didn't, I folded. And you're feeling a way about it, I think thinking about how you can get yourself to a next level of vibration so you can sort through that is really important, so that you don't stay stuck there, but are able to be like, okay, let me raise my vibration. Okay, now now I can be clear-minded to think about, okay, what could I have done differently? Or what is it that I felt was unsaid? Should I come back and have a conversation with this person? Mm-hmm. And be able to really ask yourself those questions and listen and tune in for that inner wisdom to speak.
And you can transmute that and you don't have to go back to the same person. I think a lot of people think, well, I have to go back to that person and then say it. That is not the case. I just had a very powerful situation where I just transmuted the energy and I'm very big in believing. And the reason why you feel people's vibe is your heart.
Yeah.
And we are an electromagnetic field. So your heart and what you're thinking and what your heart, but mostly what's radiating from your heart, literally can be detected from about 8 feet away from you.
Yes.
So that's why when somebody walks in the room and you feel a shift, it's real.
Yep.
The thing I always like to tell myself is, while I noticed it, to be very clear, but that's not mine.
Yeah.
And just take that notice.
Yeah. So critical.
Right. You just have to be like you said, discernment. I was just fine to... 2 minutes ago.
Discernment.
And then, you know, I'm going to say something.
Okay, say it. Come on now.
We're going to do this.
Woo! Take a deep breath, y'all.
So you're in the room, you're anywhere, and a person, an energy walks by you and you feel it. You are aware of it. Some people aren't. Some people haven't even heard the word empath.
True.
Some people aren't aware of electromagnetic fields. So this is for those of you who are aware, because it's some next level stuff.
Come on.
For those of you who are aware, you're going to have some homework, which is, if somebody walks by me, I know I'm empathic, I know I'm sensitive, I know I'm open, and it directly impedes me to the point where I can't snap out of it, what am I gaining by taking on that person's stuff? Because in a way, either you have been conditioned to be nice, and you have not learned to keep your truth and your realness, that's yours, and I can't fix that. So I saw a post.
Savior behavior.
It's savior behavior, or you've just been conditioned to be so nice that you let people's energy in.
Yeah.
And you haven't been taught, given permission to say, I see that's yours, because that's what a therapist does, right? I don't join them.
Right, right, right.
I'm aware, right. I observe, I feedback, but I don't join them, even though I am an empath and I feel it. I will cry when they leave. And if you think therapists don't cry when y'all leave, you're wrong. We do. We drink and we cry.
Oh my God.
Okay, but
the other therapist.
But we hold it together. Yeah. We hold it together because in that moment, we have to demonstrate and model what that looks like to observe something and know that that's not mine. And so somebody said, it is hard. It is hard.
It is very hard.
Here's the thing. You serve no one when you shore up their weakness with your strength. You serve no one when you shore up someone's weakness with your strength. You actually you contribute more to to their need for you. And then you better start looking at that.
You better start looking at that
you
shit.
You have to start asking.
With some binoculars.
If I get sick when I get around 20 people,
right.
What is it in me? Because there's a secondary gain. And it could be that you get around a bunch of people, you get sick, and then everybody comes to you and goes, are you okay? And maybe you didn't have this when you were younger. So in a way, you let things in. then, because the secondary, we call it a secondary gain, is that people then finally pay attention to you. But you're miserable. You're now physically sick to get this attention.
Right.
So you have to start. We say that's impasse, right. And somebody, a therapist posed the question, do you think impasse, it's just it's a uber survival coping mechanism? And when do you start to say, okay, yes, I feel things, but that's not my stuff.
Yes.
What is your truth? The truth of the matter is
it's not my stuff.
It's not mine. And I see it in you and I can recognize it in you, but it is not mine to fix, to hold, to change, to shift. You have to look at somebody and say, you can handle this.
Wow.
That's the greatest gift you can give someone.
I love that. On another aspect of that, because I am an empath, and this is interesting information, I'm going to digest that, but I think that for me also, another way that I've been able to sort of break down my empathic nature is that I see it as a test to strengthen my spiritual resilience.
Okay.
And so what that means is that in the moments when I'm starting to feel that anxious energy or whatever, whether it's coming from, if I'm picking it up from someone or even if I'm experiencing it for myself, I am forcing myself now, or just calling upon myself, to vibrate higher.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to choose a higher vibration. And so that is strengthening my spiritual resilience. And for me, that is a calming thought that helps me in that moment to think, you know what? I'm experiencing this, but this is my opportunity to strengthen my resilience, my spiritual resilience. So that's another way to also think about it, because I think that empath feeling can come from a variety of different places.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, this has been like a saving grace for me to see it in that way, to say, okay. And something you said last week to me, and we are boiling down to the last 2 minutes. You said something to me last week regarding empath, and you were asking me, I think that the question that you were talking about was just like, why have I been given this? Like, what is it that I can gain from this experience? I can't remember the exact words that you put, but it was so
powerful.
It's
like a superpower. So yes,
How is it serving me?
How is it serving me to be feeling other people's stuff?
Right.
Got to get clear about that.
Yes. Okay, y'all. So we are boiling down. We love y'all.
We love you.
It's always a great vibe. If you want to re-listen to this episode, you can chat or you can hear us on the podcast. I'll be posting it. And on Spotify, Apple, wherever, the Afro Yoga Podcast is where we're at. Make sure you give us a follow if you're not already. And we are having our retreat in June.
Yes.
You should join us. Raise the frequency.
I'll be on that treadmill like,
Okay. Yeah. So June 18th through 22nd, Mexico Yoga amazing. Retreat. Drop in your application. Link in the bio.
Please
we love you guys. See you all next week.
Yes.
Bye.
All right.
That was good.
We got it.
Yep.
I know. You've been waiting for me so patiently.
I also have chickpea brownies if you prefer that.
Oh, let me go get it. Paper and towel.
Yeah, because it gets messy. Oh, whoops. I didn't stop recording.